Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf mem test, starting a new parak, the sixth parak of Nedarim. I just want to take a moment. The refreshments this morning are sponsored by Said and Sima Haken in memory of Emma Mogilensky, who passed away last Sunday. Our learning should be a schus for Aliyah for her neshama. Okay, we're going to be dealing in this parak with back to an issue that we dealt with a little while ago about when they're nedarim, that goes b'loshen b'nei adam, that it depends somewhat on the common usage of such terms to determine that when someone makes a neder, what does it include? And in particular, we're going to speak about foods. Our Mishnah here is a perfect example of this, because the Mishnah is going to discuss four different ways of saying something that sounds pretty similar, but they each have different meanings depending on the context and the usage. So the Mishnah says, "Hanodim minamavushal." Someone says that they can't have hana from hamavushal, that which is cooked. Then mutter bitzli, they can nonetheless eat something that is roasted. Uveshaluk. Now shaluk ordinarily means something that's overcooked or very cooked. Duran says, obviously that can't be, because if it's anyone would refer to something overcooked as cooked, so it must mean in this sense something that's undercooked. He says cooked and not so cooked is the language he uses, but another way of saying not quite cooked. That's shaluk, and that's it, that he uses that as an example of the fact that you have to understand the Dharma from their context, and not necessarily the way we would ordinarily define it. So in any event, someone who says that they're not going to have benefit from hamavushal is nonetheless allowed to eat roasted things or undercooked things, because those aren't what people include when they say hamavushal, that which is cooked. Amar konem tavshil she'eni toam, that it says konem on tavshil. Now tavshil we normally think of as something cooked, but in other words, it's a reference in particular. He says that he's konem on tavshil that he eats. Aser b'masa kedera rach umuter ba'ava. Then he's not allowed to eat something that is rach. Normally means soft, but it means that it has liquid to it. Umuter ba'ava. But if it's thick, then he's allowed to have it, because something thick is not included in the word tafshil. Umuter bebeitza tormuta uvedalas haramutza. And a beitza tormuta and delas haramuta, we're going to see what both of these are, but a beitza tormuta is basically something that's cooked like 1,000 times in hot water and then cold water. It's something, but in short, it wasn't... what we're going to discover is that all these things, what they share in common is the question is whether or not they're eaten together with bread. So that's what we're going to see in the Gemara, that anything that is eaten together with bread is anything that's heated and then eaten together with bread is called tafshil, and if it's not, then it's not included. Now what happens, so that's the second version. So we said hamavushal and mivushal. The third thing is hanodir mi maisa kedera. Someone says that I'm not going to have enough from anything that's maisa kedera. Maisa kedera literally means actions of the pot or something like that, but it means things that are cooked. So ein aser ela mi maisa raschasa. That something that's heated and it has like a gravy to it, the way the Mefarish says. So that's another version of cooked has a different meaning. What if he says konem hayored l'kdeira? He says that I get konem from anything that goes into a pot. Sheni toim, that I'm not gonna eat it, or shani toim, that I would eat, depending on the girsos. Aser b'chol hamisbashel mekdeira. That's probably the widest of them. It says that anything that would be cooked in a pot is aser. So you see, we have four lashonos. You have hamavushal, tavshil, maisa kedera, and hayorid lekedera, that which goes into the pot, and they each have different meanings depending on the context. Now the Ran points out that tavshil and hamavushal are both dependent on whether it is something thick or thin. In other words, if it's something thin, it could be included, but if it's a maisa ava, it's something thick, then it wouldn't be included either in hamavushal. So you see that there are these different categories. And the long and short of it, as we'll see even more clearly in the Gemara right now, is that it depends on how people understand these terms, and everything is looked at in the context of the particular place and setting in which the nether was made to understand what was included or contemplated. Tanya Rabbi Yoshia Oser, Rabbi Yoshia Asers, what does he Aser? He Asers Tzali, because we started the Mishnah, we said that if someone says that they're not going to have benefit from Hamavushal, that which is cooked, so the Mishnah learned, but you can have something roasted, because something roasted is not what you call cooked. So that's why. But Rav Yoshi argues and says, no, you can't have tzali either. The Afa Bishain Rai Ledavar, even though it's not a proof to the matter, Zecher Ledavar, it's a conceptual proof or at a high level, Shenemar, Vayavashlu HaPesach Ba'esh Kamishpat, that this is a pasuk in Devar Yomim, and it tells you that they cooked the carbon Pesach Ba'esh and fire Kamishpat according to the din. Now we know that that a carbon Pesach has to be roasted. In fact, if you're going to cook or you're going to do other ways of preparing a carbon Pesach, you're over on an Isra Lav. So the question, and yet the Pasuk uses the language, Vayavashlu HaPesach, that they cooked it. So Rav Yoshia says, you see that the term cooking, bishul, includes even roasting, because obviously you roasted the carbon Pesach because it says you did a kemishpat, and yet it calls it bishul. So Rav Yoshia argues, and he would say that someone who's no dermin of mevushal, if someone says they're not going to have enough from mevushal, that in his case they would be usher even in something roasted. So the Gemara says, lema b'hakam mifugi, let's say that they're arguing about the following. Rav Yoshia savar haluch achar lashon Torah. They go after the language that's used by the Torah. And since the Torah refers to something tzali, something roasted as bishul, as mevushal, so then if you are noidem and a mevushal, it would include something tzali. V'tana dilan, in our Mishnah, savar b'nedarim halach achar lashon b'nei adam, that in nedarim you go after the lashon b'nei adam. And the Ran points out that in fact the Yerushalmi brings a machlokas along these lines, and actually learns it as a machlokas. You're going to see our Gemara doesn't. But the Ram brings an interesting nafgamina that he explains. He says, what would happen if someone says that they're noder from wine on the Chag? Presumably meaning Sukkot. And the question is the following, is that does it include Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag? Does it include what we call, I think, Shmini Atzeres? Because I guess what he's saying is the following. You ask a normal person, they talk about Yom Tov, they don't think of Shmini Atzeres as Regel B'fnei Atzmo. But you know, according to the Torah, it's a different yantiv. So if you say Bechag on Sukkot, what does that include? Does it include the way regular people think about it, which would include including yantiv Acharon Shachag? Or does it just include the first days and then Shmini Atzeres, he would be mutter to drink wine? That would be a nafkamina in the way the Yerushalmi explains it. But in any event, so the Gemara posits that perhaps what's going on here is the machlokas between Rav Yoshia and our Mishnah is whether you listen to whether you care what the Torah says, how the Torah defines the term, or do we literally go lo achar lashon b'nei adam? So the Gemara says, well, that's not what they're arguing about, because the kuliyama v'nedarim halach achar lashon b'nei adam. Everyone says in nedarim you go after lashon b'nei adam. And no one says that you would listen to the way that the Torah defines a term. Rather, we always look at how people do it. So why does Rav Yoshia and our Tana argue? Mar ki asrei umar ki asrei, that each according to his place. Ba'asra de Tana dilan, in the place where our Tana lived, the Tana who wrote this Mishnah lived, litzali kari litzali umavushal kari umavushal. Then in that place, when something was roasted, they called it roasted. When something was cooked, they called it cooked. They didn't call something roasted cooked, and they didn't call something cooked roasted. So therefore, it meant two different things. And if you said something cooked, it doesn't include something roasted. Basar to Rav Yoshia, but where Rav Yoshia lived, afilut sali kar mevushal, that even something that is roasted was called mevushal, and therefore, if someone made a nether that they're not going to eat from mina mevushal, it would include sali, it would include something roasted, because that's how they use the language in the place where Rav Yoshia lived. So everyone agrees that you don't go after the Lashon of the Torah, but rather you go after Lashon B'nei Adam. So the Gemara asks, V'hakra nasivla. But he gave a pasuk. So what was his point in giving a pasuk? If we don't care what the Torah's definition of a word is, and we only look at how do people define that term, then why did he bring a pasuk? So the Gemara says, Asmachta ba'alma, it's an asmachta. And so really, it doesn't make a difference. He was just bringing a raya from the pasuk that you see a concept that I guess would support the nomenclature, the usage that was prevalent in his place. The Rishonim discuss a little bit that there are cases where it could be relevant what the pasuk said, where there's ambiguity or things like that, or where if people aren't speaking Lashon HaKodesh and then that someone makes a nether in Lashon HaKodesh, what does it mean because it doesn't have common usage? So there is some relevance to how the Torah would define it, but basically, if you're faced with a circumstance where the Torah defines a term one way and common usage defines it another way, in the Darim, halach achar lashon b'nei adam, and you would go after the common usage, the language that's used by people in that particular locale. Okay, so the Gemara said, konem tavshil sheni toem, that if someone says that konem from tavshil, so he said, asr b'maisa kedera, rach umutar ba'ava. It said that he's aser and eating something that is, that he's eating something that is soft or runny, liquidy, or mutar ba'ava, and mutar if it's thick. So now the Ran has two girsos in how to read it, but the net is really the same, so we'll just read it one way. He says the Gemara asks, v'hamis bashil. Tavshil nader. He made a nether that he's not going to have from something that is tavshil. And just because something is thick, in other words, if you cook something, and the nature of cooking is you put it in a pot and cook it, which is what tavshil means. So even if it's thick, who cares? Why should that make a difference? At the end of the day, even if it's thick, it's still tavshil. It's something you cooked. So Rabbiya, Haitana, this Tana holds, kol midi demesachol be'rifta, tavshil karile. Anything that's eaten together with bread is called tafshil. And if it wouldn't be eaten together with bread, it's not called tafshil. So therefore, if you have something thick, you're not going to eat it together with bread. Bread is something you dip your bread in gravy, you dip it in some kind of liquid, you might have like a paste or something. But if it's something thick and heavy, you're not going to eat it together with bread. So the way this Tana understood is tavshil means something you eat together with bread. And therefore, in that place, that's what it would mean. Today, where tavshil doesn't have that connotation, and someone was made a nether from tavshil, it would not include that, presumably. It would not make that distinction. So the Gemara says, v'hatanya, the Ran says this is a support, this is not a kasha, it says, v'hatanya, we learned, hanodim in a tavshil, someone makes a nether, then they're not going to have tavshil, asr b'chol mine tavshil, they're asr in all forms of tavshil, v'asr b'tzali, and they're asr in something that's roasted, ubashalok, something that's undercooked, ubumavushal, and something that's cooked. So he says all these things he's asr. Asr behitrias rakos, shacholin ochlin bahen piton. And they're asr in hitrios rakos. The hitrios are. Hitrios are duluin ketanim. So it's like a squash or a gourd. So duluin is a gourd. So it says, and is also it continued, and it said they're usher in eating these soft gourds. Shacholim ochlim behen pitan, that the sick people used to eat together with their bread. So you see, in this case, this Tana had a much more expansive definition of tavshil. His tavshil included tzali, it included shalok, it included all of these things, right? But you also see this concept at the end that it says, and your usher in the gourds, the soft gourds, that sick people eat with their bread. So you see that something that's eaten together with bread has a connotation in the word tafshil. So that's a proof that, I don't think we're saying that this b'risa necessarily held exactly like the Tana of our Mishnah, because like I said, to me at least, it seems the b'risa had a broader definition, but you do see a support for this concept that there's a connection between the word tavshil and something that's eaten together with bread, because it says that the hitrios rakos, that the cholon eat together with their bread, are included in the word tavshil, presumably because they eat it together with their bread. Now the Gemara is going to get distracted in a sense here, not on the core point of what he said, but rather, in other words, there was a reference that there were sick people used to eat gourds, soft gourds. And the Gemara says, "Eini, is that so? Is that a good idea that sick people should eat gourds?" V'ha, Rabbi Yirmiyah chalosh. Rabbi Yirmiyah got sick. Ol gabe ahu asya lasuya that this a certain healer or doctor went up to go heal him. Chaza kara demachas bebeise, and he saw that there was this gourd or this squash or whatever, something like that. He saw that it was in Rabbi Yirmiyahu's house. Shav gave enough. He left the house. He said, "Forget it. I'm not healing him." Why? Amar Malach Musa Isle Ladein Bebeisa Vana Ayo Laasa Yase. So he says that they brought in the Malach HaMavis into this house. They have the Malach HaMavis in this house, meaning because they had this gourd or squash over there, because that's very bad for a chola. So he says, you know, if you're going to bring in the Malach HaMavis by feeding him squash, I'm not coming to heal him. And he left. So you see that squash is not good. It's not good for someone who's sick. So why did it, and as we referred to that, when you say tavshil, it includes the food that it includes the gourds, the soft gourds that sick people eat with their bread. You see, it's bad for a sick person to eat a gourd. So he said, the Gemara says, lo kasha habra kichi haba shuni. That there's a difference, because when did we say that the cholim eat this? The hitrios is talking about soft ones, and that's good for them. Habashuni, but if they're hard gourds, then that's in fact bad, and that would be considered like the Malach HaMavis. So Rava Barula Amar, he does a different explanation. He says Habakara Gufe. This one is talking, the one that says it's bad is talking about the entire or the entire gourd, right? So that is bad. V'habegave the kara, whereas this one is talking about just the inside of the kara. That's what we said that cholin, that sick people eat, because that's actually good for sick people. Adam Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda said, luliva de kara besilka, luliva de kisna bekutcha. So he says that he talks about luliva is like the center or the middle. So he says the middle of a gourd, basilka, is good together with leeks. And leeks is typically, actually, silka is typically, we refer to something that's made with beets, together with beets. So the Ran says, because they used to use leeks with their beets, or something like that they would cook it with beets. And luliva de kisna bekutcha, and that the center of flax is good in kutach. Now, what was kutach? Kutach was something we encounter in the Gemara a lot. It's one of these delightful delicacies. It's made out of spoiled milk and moldy bread. So evidently, flax also tasted good when that's what you eat. So they said that the middle of the flax is good with kutach. And the Gemara says, "V'davar zeh asur l'amar b'fnei am haaretz." You can't even tell this to an am haaretz, because the Ran says, because they're going to go and they're going to rip up all the pishtun fields. I guess they're going to take people's pishtun, because they evidently the amaratzim were the ones who ate kutach, and they said you shouldn't even tell an am haaretz that it's good, because then they're going to go take all the flax to eat it with their kutach. Okay, the Gemara says, Rava Amar. Rava had a different tarot. So far we had two tarots, and we're gonna have a third. To why is it that we reference that the sick people eat the hitrios together with their bread, which we said were like a squash or a gourd, and that's good for them. But we saw the story when Rav Yirmiyahu was sick that he said that it's very bad for them. So one was there's a distinction whether it's hard or soft. One was there's a distinction whether we're talking about the whole thing or just the center. Rava is going to go in a totally different direction. Rava Amar, he says, man cholin, when it said that sick people eat it, who did it mean? Rabbanon, it meant the rabbis. Why? Because, and what it was saying is that the rabbis used to eat this with their bread. So it wasn't even talking about real sick people. Now, why did they call the rabbis sick? Because the Ran says that the afilu bebriuson hein teshushe koach, that even when they're healthy, meaning when they're not sick, they have weakened the constitutions. Because we know that it says Torah is mateshes kochos shel adam, that Torah weakens the physical strength of a person. So he says because the rabbanon used to learn and used to spend a lot of time learning, they weren't so strong. And they weren't perfectly healthy. So therefore, when it says that the cholin used to eat the hitrios, it meant that the Rabbanon used to eat the hitrios, and therefore it's not a kasha that when Rav Yirmiya was sick of traditional sickness, that the healer said it's bad to have gourd. So it's something it's good to eat for Rabbanon when they are in their status of health, which is a little less than everyone else's health. But if in fact the Rabbanon or anyone else would be truly sick in traditional sickness sense, then it would be unhealthy to have this gourd or this squash. And he says, Rava la taime, Rava goes according to his reasoning. You see elsewhere, Dama Rava, the Rava says, turning to Amud Beis, Kiman matzlinan al ketziri val meri. So the Gemara says, Kiman kereb yosi, like Reb Yosi. So he says, according to whose view do we daven on the ketziri and the meri? Ketziri is referring to like sick people, the Ran says, because the nafsham ketzara machmas cholyam, because of their sickness, their nafsham ketzara, they have a short or small nefesh. I'm not sure 100% what that means. Val merei are those who are bad off. Also a reference to sick people. So what it's actually talking about here, the Ran explains, is that we have the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that there's a machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi about the Rabbanon say that people are judged on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, there's no reason to daven for an individual during the year to get better or something like that, because is already his judgment is determined. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, people are judged every day on whether they're going to live, they're going to die, whether they're going to have a good day, a bad day, whatever it is, and that therefore it makes sense to daven. And this is a issue that a lot of people discuss, exactly what does it mean. And I think everyone knows that there is some place for davening, but there's some element to which that it gets into this machlokas Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi is the one who says you're judged every day. So he says, like, who does it go that you should daven for someone who's sick or someone who's sick? Like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, Midamar Ketziri Meri, Shema Minal Ketziri Ketziri Mamish, Meri Rabbanon. In other words, he's saying these words are kind of duplicative. So when it says both, we see that Ketziri means Ketziri Mamish, people who are really sick. And when it says Meri, those who are bad off, Ra, like those who, and those who are sick, it means Rabbanon. So you see support for the idea that you could refer to the Rabbanon as sick in some sense because their constitution is somewhat weakened, and so therefore that's Rava's teretz of why we said that hitrios are good for people, and Rav Yirmiya's healer thought that they were very bad. Okay, so the Mishnah said umutter ba'ava, that in other words we said that if the person says that they konim tavshil. So we said that they could have something that's liquidy or thin, but not something that's thick, because something that's thick you don't eat together with bread. And the Gemara says, "Masnisin deleike bavloi." Our mission is not like the bavloi. Damre v'zera bavloi tipshoi de achli lachma belachma. Sometimes you see this throughout the Gemara where they refer to it as hani bavli tipshoi de achli nama benama. But the idea is that they eat bread together with bread, right? So why? Because they would use bread like substances like starch, something like that. And it's like we talked about it a few days ago. We had arson, I think it was, which is something we said is cooked a lot, but it's they talk about there's all different kinds of grains depending on how it's cut up in half and quarters or whatever. But and there's all these things. So call it some kind of like, I don't know, farina or something like that. And so the bavloi used to eat these things made out of wheat together with their bread. And others didn't used to do that, so they used to call them hani bavli tifshai, these tipshim who eat bread with bread. What's the basic idea? The idea is that when you have a condiment, so let's say you eat bread with mustard, right? So the mustard complements the taste of the bread. But the idea that if you take bread and put it on bread, you know, what are you doing? You're not accomplishing anything. So they would say, "Hani bavli tipshai dachli lachma belachma." Now, so what do you see from this? You see that in Bavel they used to eat this like farina or whatever it was together with their bread. So we said that the only thing that's called tafshil is something that you eat together with bread, and therefore something thick like farina or one of these wheat dishes would not be included in tavshil because people don't eat it with bread. But in Bavel, you see, they would eat it with bread. And therefore, if someone in Bavel said, that konim tavshil olai, if he would say a konim that he can't have tavshil, it would include these wheat dishes because in Babel they actually used to eat them together. Rav Chista said, hold on one second, let's just see what goes back. Amr Rav Chista leka, ika demavshil or leka demavshil. You see different lashonos. Mashal lahon lahalin nakdoni dehutzil. Is there anyone that we can ask, or isn't there anyone that we can ask from among the Nakdani of Hutzel? Hutzel was a place. What are Nakdani? The Ran says either Sheochlim b'Nekiyus. These are people who used to they used to eat very carefully. They would clean. They would be very clean in their eating. Lashanacher Nakdani shemekdaktikdim b'achilas, and that they were mekdaktik. Either that they were careful in their eating, or maybe it means like they were the they were foodies. They were very into their food. I don't know. Whatever it is, that these were the people in Hutzel that they wanted to ask questions to, and they asked Hadain Daisa Heichon Mali Lemechli, that when they Daisa is one of those wheat dishes, they would say that how did they eat it? The Chitiba. I'm sorry. Hani Mali Lemechli the Chitiba Lachma. That he said that when they eat these dishes. Of these wheat dishes together with bread, the chiti udesari. I'm sorry. The chiti belachma, the chiti udesari belachma desari. Do they eat even wheat dishes with wheat bread and barley dishes with barley bread? Odilma, maybe the chiti b'desari udesari b'dechiti. That maybe they, in other words, even when they eat nama b'nama or lachma b'lachma. Do they eat, like, literally wheat with wheat and barley with barley? Or they eat wheat with barley and barley with wheat, so at least it tastes a little bit different, so it's a little bit of a compliment. So they were trying to figure out, and this is obviously relevant for Nedarim, because if you say that Tavshil means something that's eaten with bread, so if maybe they only ate a barley with wheat or wheat with barley bread, right? So then if someone said Tavshil, it would not include wheat with wheat. Well, actually, it should include either way, because there's some fashion in which you would eat it together. But in any event, they were trying to figure out from the people in Hutzel, how was it when you eat nama b'nama or lachma b'lachma, could that literally be wheat with wheat and barley with barley, or only with each other? So the Gemara says, Rava achli b'chassisi, that Rava ate it with chassisi. Chassisi, he would eat his bread with chassisi, and the Ran says kemach shalklayus. This was some kind of they would bake the wheat kernels, and they would make it into flour. So you see that he would eat it. That Rava used to eat the something made out of this kind of flour together with his bread. So he was in Bavel. Okay, Rabba bar Rav Huna Ashkechali Rav Huna de ka'achol daisa be'etzba elsei. Rabba bar Rav Huna found Rav Huna, his father, I guess, that he was eating daisa with his fingers, one of these wheat dishes. Amrle amai ka'achol mar biyadei. Why are you eating with your hands? Maybe it's not so polite. So Amrle hachi amarav daisa be'etzbata basim. That it's sweet or it's good. It comes from the word, like I think, like basim, that it's a positive thing to eat daisa with your fingers. V'chol dechein betartin, and it's even better if you eat it with two fingers. V'chol dechein betlas, and it's even better if you eat it with three fingers. So he used to hold that somehow it was better to eat with your fingers. You know, nowadays by chassidim, the chassidim eat fish with their fingers. They're makbid not to eat it with a fork. But that has something to do with the fact that they say that that tzaddikim come back and Gilgal Neshamas as fish. And so they have this idea that you should touch it, so they eat it with their hands. But I don't know. So maybe something along those lines. Okay.
See, they come down in the form of fish. Is that what you said?
They say that the tzaddikim, if they have to come back for Gilgal Neshama, they come as a fish.
With a fish?
As a fish. No, they are a fish.
That was so weird.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm a Litvak. I grew up like that, so you have to talk to Yankee. He wears a gartel. He could tell you. Okay. Amale Rav Lechia Bray. Rav said to Chia his son. V'chein Amale Rav Huna L'Rabba Bray. That Rav Huna also said to his son Rabba. Mezamnen l'chol l'meichel daisa ad parsa. That if someone invites you to eat daisa, which is this wheat dish, ad parsa, you should walk up to a parsa to go get it, meaning it's a good thing to do. Go l'meichel bisra de taro, if they're offering you a good steak from a, you know, ox meat over here, ad tilsa parsa, then you should walk three parsas to go get that. Okay, Amalei Rav L'chia Brei, Rav said to his son, Chia, V'chein Amalei Rav Huna L'Rabba Brei, Rav Huna said to his son, Rabba, Kol Midim L'Tiflet Kamei Rabach, that anything you shouldn't spit out in front of your Rebbe, Levar Min Kara V'Daisa, except for, Kara we learned before was this gourd or the squash, and Daisa, this other dish that we said you should eat, he says that normally if you're sitting in front of your Rebbe, don't spit it out, it's not polite to spit food out. But if you're eating this, don't worry, you could spit it out. Shehen domen lipsilta shel aver. Because it's like psilta shel aver. Psilta shel aver is like a stick or a rod of lead. And I'll tell you what that is in a second. It says, afilu kamesh shvar malka plot. And even if you're in front of shvar malka was the king in those days. He says, even in front of the king, you would spit it out. Why? He says, Psilta Shalavar, what's Psilta Shalavar? Psilta Shalavar was that we know that one of the Dalad Misas is Srefa. There's Skila Srefa Herig Vechenek. Now, Srefa means burning, but it's not like ISIS did in Syria where they burned someone. That's not how it was. The way what burning was is that they used to melt down, they used to make molten lead. They would melt down a stick of lead and they would pour it down the person's throat. That's what Srefa was. So he's saying that this stuff you could spit out because if you get like a kara or daisa in your mouth, it could be very bad for you, almost like swallowing molten lead, because bad for you. So therefore, even in front of your Rebbe or even in front of Shvar Malka, you could spit it out. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. This is a very fascinating story. I'm sure there's some good meaning to it. But Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda were eating together. Chad achol daisa beetzbasei, v'chad achol behutza. They were eating out of one bowl. And one of them was eating with his fingers. And the other one was eating with hutza, the Ran says, is like, is beklipas eis, the skin of a tree, like a bark. So one of them was dipping in with his fingers, and one was dipping in with the bark, and neither of them liked what the other one was doing. Amrlei, one said to him, Amrlei, the achol behutza le the achol beetzbasei, the one who was eating with the bark said to the one who was eating with the fingers, Ad masai ata machileni tzoascha, until when are you going to feed me your tzoa? Tzoa normally means like excrement or something, but or maybe it just means something bad. But the Ran explains that, you know, beneath your fingers, not the Ran, wasn't the fire. She explains beneath your fingers is like dirt. So you're sticking your fingers in our dish, and you're getting your tzoa in my daisa. He's like, I don't appreciate it. He says, Armalei, the achol betzba said the achol behutza, that he said the one who was eating with his fingers said to the one who was eating with a bark, Ad masai ata machileni rokcha. How until when are you gonna serve me your saliva? Why? Because this was the early version of the double dipping rule. Because he would take the thing, he would eat it, and he'd get his saliva on it, and then he'd stick it back in the dish. He says, you're feeding me your saliva. I'm not interested. So, I'm sure there's a pshat, but I don't know what it is. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, I guess so. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, I see lekamayu blusfine. That Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they brought in front of them this blusfine, which was some kind of a fig that wouldn't get, mint ainim shekashon lesachil, they don't get processed well by the body, by the system. So Rabbi Yehuda achol, Rabbi Shimon achol. Rabbi Yehuda ate, and Rabbi Shimon didn't eat. Rabbi Yehuda said, my time eloy achol mar. Why aren't you eating this? Amalei Rabbi Shimon, elu ain yotzim mi bnei ma'ayin kolikar. I'm not eating it because, you know, once it goes in, it never comes out. It sits in the stomach and it doesn't get processed well. So Amar Leir Yehuda kol shekenshin nismachalein lamachar. For sure, then you should eat it because then, you know, if you eat it now and it's sitting in your stomach, it's like a good thing before Tisha B'Av. If you know, he says, if you eat it now, it's going to be there tomorrow and it's going to constantly be giving you nourishment because it's sitting in your stomach and it's stuck in there. Okay, so although we see actually the Yehuda, we're going to see from a story that comes up in a minute that he was very poor. So some tie these Gemaras together that's why he would eat these type of figs, because if he had a choice to eat them now, it would be sustenance for him. Rabbi Yehuda Ava Yasef come into Rav Tarfon. Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of Rav Tarfon. Amarlei, Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon is Rabbi said to him, "Hayom panecha tzehuvim. Today your face is glowing, or is lit up." Amarlei. So we want to know why. Amarlei said, "Emesh. Yesterday Yatzu Avadecha l'Sada. Yesterday your servants went out to the field. Ve'viu lanu tardin." And they brought us beets, v'achalnum below melech, and we ate the beets without salt. V'yemachalnum b'melech, if we would have eaten them with salt, kol shekein shehayu paneinu tzehuvim. That for sure our faces would have been even more lit up. Okay, so that's how he answered his Rebbe. Amra hahi matronisa l'Rebbe Yehuda. That there was a certain matronisa, was like an important woman in Roman times, said to Rebbe Yehuda, Mora V'ravi, he said, so she called him Mora V'ravi. So we know that we often refer, as a manner of kavod, you refer to someone as Mori V'ravi. So she referred to Mora V'ravi, means you're a Mora, you're a posek, you're a dayan, V'ravi, and you're a drunkard. Because she decided that if his face looked so lit up, the only explanation could be that he was drunk. And yet he's a dayan, or he was a Mora Halacha, so she called him Mora V'ravi. So Amarlei said to her, "Heim nusa biyada dahi itza, that is some kind of that you swear by this woman. Itaimna elikidusha vadalta v'arba kasi de pischa, that he was making some kind of shvua that he never drinks wine except for kiddush, havdalah, and the dalat kosas on Pesach. V'chogarni tzidai mina pesach aratzeres." That he said that he had such a tough time with wine that he used to have to bind his temples from Pesach until Shavuos. In other words, it took him 7 weeks to recover from drinking the wine by the Seder. Wine was so tough on him. So he said to her, "It's not from wine that you see my face shining, because I only have wine when I absolutely need to for Kiddush, Avdolah, and Dalat Kosos. So rather, Ela chachmas adam toyer panav." That this is a pasuk in Koheles that it says that the chachma of a person lights up their face. So the real reason why his face was lit up was because he was a chacham from his chachma. It was not because of eating beets and not because he drank wine or anything like that. Amalei ahut stuki l'Rabbi Yehuda panecha domen. That there was a stuki said to Rabbi Yehuda, "Your face is similar. Ikemalvi ribis ikemagadli chazirin." Either you look like a loan shark, or you look like a pig raiser. Why? Because these were professions other people didn't want for different reasons, and therefore they used to be very lucrative because no one wanted to do it. So those who did it did very well. So he says, "Your face looks so shiny or lit up. You must be earning a lot of money. You must be in one of these professions." Amrlei bihudoi tarvayu asirin. He says, "By the Jews, both of these are asir. You can't do that." Ella Esrim Varba Besa Kise Isli Min Besa Ad Be Midrasha. He says there's 24 restrooms or facilities between my house and the Beis Medrash. V'chol Shavashani Nichnas Kol Echad Ve'Echad. And every moment or every hour I go into one of them. I think it was a sarcastic response. Different pshatim in this. But whatever it was, that was his response. Rabbi Yehuda Kad Azal Be Midrasha. That when Rabbi Yehuda used to go to the Beis Medrash, Shakul Gulfa al Kaspe, Gulfa, the Ran says, is a Gulfa is kankan, is a barrel. So he used to take a barrel on his shoulders. Amar Gedola Malacha Shemechabedes es Baileha. That it's very good, the Malacha that is Mechabed its owner. And the Ran says, because because this way he was bringing a barrel and he didn't have to sit on the ground. And what this is dealing with, the Mefarshim explained, is the fact that the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that someone who's a parnes, someone who's a leader in the community, shouldn't do menial labor in front of the rabbim, in front of at least three people. So there's an idea that he shouldn't schlep his own things. But he was saying, that's good, but it's better that I should schlep this barrel with me, because then at least I'll be sitting in a Bekavadika manner in the Beis Medrash, because I'll have a barrel to sit on. Reb Shimon, similar story. Reb Shimon shuckled Sana al Kasper. Reb Shimon put a basket on his shoulders. Amar Gedola Malacha Shemechabed says Baila, Bas Bailao, that it's good the Malacha that is Mechabed those its owner, meaning that he also would have something to sit on. The Visud Rabbi, now here's where you start to see the Rabbi Yehuda is very poor. The Visud Rabbi Yehuda, Nafkes, that the wife of Rabbi Yehuda went out, Noktas Imra, she acquired or bought wool. Of the glima, the hutvi, she made a some kind of garment. The hutvi, the Ran says glima chashuva, like an important garment. And what would happen? Kadnafkes l'shuka mechasya bay. That when she would go out to the market, she would wear this garment. V'kadnafik Rabbi Yehuda letzluye. When Rabbi Yehuda would go out of the house to daven, havi mechasi umatzli. That he used to wear the same garment, then he would go out, and that's what he would daven in. So they used to, him and his wife could only afford one garment, so they would share it. The kadmechsi bay, and that when he would put it on in the morning, havim mevarach bruch shatani mi'il, that he clothed me in a mi'il, and the Ran says shahaya chashav b'ein of kmi'il. It was chashav in his eyes like a mi'il. So it wasn't really a mi'il. A mi'il was a davar chashav, but in other words, he was very happy with it. He was willing. To him, this was as good as a mi'il, and he used to make a bracha when he put it on. Zimna chada gazer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tanisa. Once Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was gazer tainis. Rabbi Yehuda lo asa lebe tanisa, and Rabbi Yehuda didn't come. So Amrin le, they said to him lo islay. Lo isle kisuya. The reason that Rabbi Yehuda is not here, the Chachamim told Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is because he doesn't have anything to wear. So maybe his wife went shopping or something, so she was wearing it and he didn't have it. So shadar le glima. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sent a garment to Rabbi Yehuda so that he should come with the Chachamim where they were observing the tainus. V'lekibo, he didn't want to take it. Dali tzifsa, that so he lifted. So now he didn't want to be a mechutziv to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Sent a guy with clothing. So what he said. So dali tzifsa. He lifted up the corner of the mat, and both the Ran and the Mefarish say that this was some kind of a nace, and that there ended up being a bunch of coins under there, like money. He says, "Dali tifsa." He lifted it. Amalei l'shulchazi ma'ika chazika ma'ika. That see what's here. I have lots of money. I don't need your money. Somehow a nace came and the money was there. Mi'ula nichale this hani b'hadein alma. But I don't want the clothes from Shimon Gamliel because I don't want to be I don't want to benefit. I don't want to have ana in this world. And he didn't want fancy clothing, and therefore he didn't want to take the clothing from Shimon Gamliel.